this month to look at Jesus' appearance to people following his resurrection and before his ascension. Last week, we considered his appearance to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Today, we're looking at Jesus' appearance to the group of the disciples. Just in case you might not know, in the scriptures we're reading it today, this is still Resurrection Day in the scripture that we're reading. This is still the day of that morning when Christ was risen from the dead and the disciples are hearing word of people who, the women in particular, who went to the tomb and there was no one there. And so this is still very raw in terms of what the disciples are dealing with. But there are some important things that we need to realize about the scripture that you just heard Isabella read. One of the first I take from the biblical commentator Matthew Henry. He, along with many others, understand what's happening here, one of the things happening here, actually to be a call for a secondary ordinance instituted, which became a part of the founding, the continuing growth of the Christian church in which you are participating in this morning. And that is the Sabbath day being on a Sunday. Here, the Sabbath day, the day of Christ's resurrection, is observed by the disciples and acknowledged by Jesus. There is still resurrection. This is still Resurrection Day, as I said. It's here and several other places in Scripture. Sunday is referred to as the first day of the week. It's the only day in the New Testament that is mentioned by a number. The first day of the week is known to be a religiously significant day. The disciples are meeting in what has to be considered a Christian assembly. We can assume the gathering included some of the religious exercises modeled by Christ. One we know for sure was prayer, as it's mentioned specifically in the scripture, along with encouragement in the midst of an overwhelming juncture of their lives. Not only that, but Jesus shows up and acknowledges and becomes an interactive part of what they're doing. It also might be good to note that the disciples are meeting in a private room behind closed doors. The reason for this, the practical reason, would be for fear of their lives, for fear of people coming after Jesus' followers, the one who had just been crucified, the one who had stirred up attention in a way, and people that wanted to be sure to crush any movement that might be associated with him. So it's understandable that the disciples may have been gathering behind closed doors. But I want to think about this for a minute. How comforting is it that when meeting behind closed doors, the presence of Christ cannot be kept from them? Think about that. They're meeting behind closed doors. The doors never opened, as far as we're aware and what the scripture says, but Jesus just appears. And then I wonder what this means to us today. We aren't looking for Jesus to appear to us in a physical form in the way that he did to the disciples. But there are times that we wonder if Jesus is with us. There's a scripture. It comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn there. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. And this is how it reads: "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is nothing that can separate us from Christ. At this time when the disciples were struggling, when the disciples were trying to make sense, when the disciples were trying to understand what was going on, Jesus appeared before them. We all struggle at different times in different ways to make sense of the life that is around us. And as we do, I promise you, Jesus is there. Peace be with you was something we began with at the beginning of the service. But it's also how Jesus begins the conversation here with the disciples. As I mentioned earlier, it's a common greeting. But here, it has to be more. They are being granted the peace of Christ in the midst of a trying time. Think about what they have been through this day. And how Jesus himself was coming to them saying, "Peace be with you." What had happened to them, not just this day, but the past 3 days? And them not understanding, being able to grasp what's going on with their leader, their Messiah. And then at this time when they're together, when they're doing their best to try to make sense of it, he shows up. And it's not just a hello. It's Jesus himself saying, "Peace be with you." There's no way peace can... In fact, just Jesus showing up to them had in some way to stir them and cause another sense of chaos. But it wasn't about just peace, that everything's going to be organized and everything's going to be okay and there's not going to be any trouble. There's a peace beyond understanding that comes from God. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus went to great lengths at this time to assure that the disciples knew who he was, showing them his hands and his side. Jesus does the same thing for us today, not in the physical way. But Jesus doesn't play games and Jesus doesn't hide from us, and Jesus is real. Even today, Christ shows himself to us, open-handed and open-hearted to anyone who desires it. Imagine that. If you're seeking him and Jesus himself, he truly does. He welcomes you. Jesus has open arms to welcome you and anyone else who desires that relationship with him. And he has an open heart, a heart that is so full of love, that is so genuine, that he gave his us so that we might live eternally with him and the Father. But not only that, so that we may know this peace that he's talking about even today. That's the Jesus Christ that's real, the Jesus Christ that is in our presence through the Holy Spirit. Every one of us will have trials and troubles in this life. I encourage you to accept the peace in the midst of all the world has to throw at you. Now, along with this peace that is mentioned, there is a responsibility that comes. The next part of the scripture, it says that we are sent as God the Father sent Jesus. That's a big responsibility. Let's unpack that a little bit. If you go back and look at that scripture. God, Jesus said, "Peace be with you," when he started. But right before he said this, right before he said that he was sending us, or sending the disciples as God had sent him, he said once again, "Peace be with you." It was said twice in the scripture. Why? What did this mean? And I can promise you it didn't mean that he was saying everything's going to be okay, follow me and you won't have any problems. Because as we mentioned last Sunday, I believe, the majority of the disciples died a martyr's death because of their faith, because of their love of Christ, because of their proclamation of who Jesus Christ was. So it wasn't that type of peace. But as he is about to give them a responsibility, he bestows a peace upon them, a peace that promises that they will understand that they're part of something bigger than who they are, and things really are going to be okay. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be okay in terms of what the world says is okay. The second part of this, to consider that we are being sent just as the Father sent Jesus. Dave Miller, you're being compared to Jesus Christ. And so are you, John. And so are you, Joey. And so are you, Alice and Brenda. It says that we're being sent just as the Father sent the Son. He was saying that to the disciples, but our understanding of what it means to be a follower of Christ and disciple, this extends to us as well. So what does that mean? How can it be possible that we live up to anything like that? But it's a scripture that I've shared with you quite often, and I remind you again in John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, "For all who believe in me will continue doing the acts that I have done, and you will do what? Even greater." That's what the scripture says. We are being sent. And we're being sent by the Father just as he sent the Son. Now there's another part of this that I believe it's important for us to understand. As the disciples, each of the disciples were different. All of them were sent. Do you think Jesus truly expected every one of them to do the exact same thing in the exact same place in the exact same way? This was, I believe, a continued understanding of what it meant to be a part of the body of Christ. I didn't plan it this way, but it just so happened that the middle school small group that we had at our house in the front yard yesterday, that happened to be the topic that we were talking about, was the body of Christ. And as we did, and we were having the devotion with the young people, we began discussing what that really meant. And it came up something about me being a preacher and sharing Christ with others. And the question was brought up, wouldn't it make sense that I would be the one, that my responsibility would be for just doing the preaching and sharing and telling people about Christ? After all, I went to school for it. And I have a church that people can come to and hear it. And I like to talk a lot, probably more than most people in this room. So I didn't need an amen. And so that question was brought up, and pretty quickly somebody said, "Well, no, they disagreed with the pastor, young person." And they said, "You know, different people can do a better job relating to others." I said, "Oh, really? You mean there are some people you can relate to better than I can? Tell me who." You know what they said? "Some of my family. The people I go to school with, the people on my ball team." You know, he was right. And you know what he said? He said, "I need to share Christ with those people." That's what being a part of the body of Christ is about. That's what it means to be sent. That's what it means to live and share and disciple where we're planted. And I'm thankful for the young people in this church who are living that out in many ways right now. So immediately after the commissioning, immediately after Jesus told the disciples they were to be sent, he did something else. He gave them something else. Jesus bestowed upon them the Holy Spirit with the words, "Receive the Holy Spirit," particularly as it was connected to the commissioning. We talked at length about the role of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is the third part of the Trinity, along with God the Father and God the Son. And that the Holy Spirit is what leads you to know how to act upon the will of God. So it makes sense that God would bestow the Holy Spirit, God in them, as he sent them. But what I really want to consider, what I really want to look at, is the part where it says, Jesus told the disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, most of us have probably had somewhere in a conversation or heard somebody preached it where we talked about receiving Jesus into our hearts, receiving Jesus into our life. And when we talk about that, we understand that it's got to be about more than just head knowledge. It's got to be more than just about knowing who Jesus is and that he died on the cross and that he rose again. It has to involve a relationship. Well, guess what? Jesus just said here to the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. So just as we're supposed to receive Christ, part of receiving Christ is also receiving the Holy Spirit. Not just knowing that the Holy Spirit is represented by one of these candles. Not just by knowing the Holy Spirit is a name given to one of the members of the Trinity. But we are to receive the Holy Spirit in the part that the Holy Spirit becomes a part of our life. That we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. That we invite, we encourage, we beg, we ask on a daily basis for God through the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to comfort us. That's what it means to receive the Holy Spirit. Not just acknowledge Him, but have Him as an active part of our everyday life. So one of the questions we're faced with today, the first one would be, have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you haven't, you can't receive any of these three gifts I'm going to talk about that God gives, that are mentioned in the Scripture. But secondly, if you have received Jesus Christ, the second is, have you received the Holy Spirit? God's given it to you. The day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is offered. But not everybody to whom it's offered, do they receive it. So that may be something that we need to consider today. We are sent. We have the Holy Spirit with us. And as we are sent, we're to represent God in an appropriate way, and that has to be, the Holy Spirit has to be a part of that. We can't represent God legitimately in the way God desires that the Holy Spirit didn't lead that. But there's something here near the end of the Scripture that can be a little disconcerting if we don't understand it. So I want to take a little bit of time to look at that, and it's this verse, verse 23. It says, speaking to the disciples, he said, if you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Is there anybody that disturbs you in any way? Now, you don't want to say the Scripture disturbs you, but we're supposed to be honest. God's big enough, and He wrote that God's responsible for the Scripture, so if we're struggling with it, we need to pursue that. We need to invite God and through the Holy Spirit to be a part of helping us understand it. So, is this saying and is this meaning that the disciples can go out and say, Dave, your sins are forgiven and they're forgiven, and Nellie, yours aren't. Sorry. So that's one thing, but then if we talk about this extends to not just the disciples, but to other believers, does that mean that I'm going to go back and say, Robert, you're saying about the gift of the call? I struggled with this. And my guess is you may have too if you've taken time to look at it. So as I looked more closely, this is what I came to understand. The disciples were authorized to announce the terms of forgiveness. This explanation has to do, and I'll flesh it out a little bit, it has to do with the literal interpretation and considerations of the verb tenses in the Greek language. And I'm not going to get into Greek, but I just want you to understand this a little bit. So a literal interpretation in some of you, in some Bibles, it comes closer to this than what it was in the NIV. This is what the literal interpretation would be. Those whose sins you forgive have already been forgiven. Those whose sins you do not forgive have not already been forgiven. In other words, the disciples are authorized to declare forgiveness which God has already determined. So it's not that they have the power to forgive sin. I would compare it to something similar to what we did at the beginning of the service. I challenged you to think about your sins. I don't know your sins. How could I begin to forgive or not forgive your sins? I don't know what you've done and not done. But I can draw attention to your sins, encouraging you to recognize that and to bring them before Christ. And truly, if you have with a genuine heart given those sins to Christ, Scripture says, so I base what I say in Scripture, God takes those sins and removes them as far as the east is from the west, and that creates in you a new person. A person that's able to relate to God in a different way because it clears the way by getting rid of that sin. So then I'm a part of doing what I believe this Scripture says. And yes, if you have sin in your life, I have said and I proclaim that that sin will keep you from having the relationship with God that He desires. And that can be brought out in more detail as you go into other Scriptures. So it's important that we convey that in whatever way God leads us to as we go about sharing with others. So, to summarize, God began in the Scripture by giving peace. He also gave the Holy Spirit, and God alone grants forgiveness. Do you have those in your life today? And if you do, another part that comes out of the Scripture is that we are sent. We are to share that with others.